Welcome, everybody, to Audio Ins and Outs Orientation. This is your orientation class for all three modules. So we will explain a little bit about each module, what they will cover. Some of you obviously are only taking some of the modules, so you will know how this, you know, how each module is going to work. So the way this course works, as you guys may have read, is it's divided into three different modules. The first 5 weeks is essentials. You'll learn, you know, all about sample rate, bit depth, what's a microphone, what's, you know, different types of cables, mixers. What am I missing, guys?
Phase, hearing protection, zero crossings, properties of sound,
harmonics. Hook things to other things.
Harmonics is fun.
Harmonics is fun. I like harmonics. You'll learn all about that here in essentials. And then once that module has passed, Goldwave and Reaper will start after that concurrently. We're running things a little bit different this year. We're going to run sort of a part archive, part live class. So what that means, particularly for Essentials and Goldwave and about half of Reaper, you will hear a lecture, and then every Monday there will be a Q&A for that lecture. So this Monday, for instance, we'll give you the link to download lecture one. And next Monday, should people have questions, there will be a Q&A or a discussion regarding that lecture. That is also when assignments, as you guys may have gotten in the email, will be due. They're generally due by a week after the assignment is given out, unless otherwise specified. And there's a couple of them that are. You will get your passwords to the wiki and things like that. Once we get that sort of taken care of, I have to get with Carrie, our systems admin, on a couple minor technical details, and he doesn't get into work until tomorrow. So I'll make sure and get that wiki stuff to you guys tomorrow. So that's how we'll do that. Before we go on to other stuff, though, I wanted to go down the list here. And the way we like to start orientations is we like to kind of introduce people, or let people introduce themselves, should we say. And so we're going to go in alphabetical order. And you guys basically introduce yourselves, introduce a little bit about who you are, what you like, what you plan on getting out of this audio course. So we'll start with Andrew.
Okay, my name is Andrew. I'm sorry, what was that? I am interested in audio for many reasons. I'm part owner in a radio station. I'm interested in learning the ins and outs of audio because I don't really know as much as I would like to know about it. The questionnaire that I was sent was like, wow, okay. I want to learn how to do station IDs, mixed tracks, and voiceovers, and everything audio. So that's what I'm here for, and I'm interested in everything audio.
That's cool. Could I just ask you, Andrew, to turn your microphone gain in TeamTalk down a little bit? You are quite loud and clipping occasionally.
Well, he does that. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi, my name is Ben. I am located in Amelia Island, Florida, which is about as far north as you can go in Florida without being in Georgia. My vision loss, most of it happened about 5 years ago. And before then, my favorite hobby was photography. And I'm more and more fascinated by the parallels between photography and audio. You know, the fact that it's a gear-centric kind of thing, and a microphone is kind of like different lenses and layering with high dynamic range in a camera. Can you hear me still?
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
That's nice.
In
yeah.
fact, your quality just improved.
Wow, that's cool.
Something got a lot nicer sounding.
Okay, and the high dynamic range is kind of like mixing, and there's a lot of interesting parallels. One of the things that interested me about Reaper is that it's so accessible, and that's such an exception to the rule compared to so many audio things that you get into anymore, so visual and sort of eye candy oriented, that it's really refreshing to find accessible solutions. My goal is to fill in my audio gaps. I've been doing recitals and Reaper recordings for about a year now, and I can't seem to hear myself anymore, so I'm wondering if I cut out.
No, what happens when you don't hear yourself, the quality of your microphone improves dramatically, ironically enough. So when you said you cut out, it sounded a lot clearer. So
I wonder what could be the cause of it. I can sort of hear my echo in my ears of what I'm speaking right now, and after about 20 seconds or so, that seems to cut out, and then you say the audio improves.
We'll have to help you trace that one down.
Yeah. We can kind of trace that back, yeah, through this cord.
Audio Essentials is going to be fun this term, methinks.
Oh, God.
Okay, so that's a little bit about me.
Christoph.
All right. Well, good evening from here to everybody. This is Christoph. I'm located in Munich, Germany. What do I want to get out of this course, and why am I here? My favorite hobby is ham radio, which obviously has got to do quite a bit with audio. And I'm also president of IBFD, which is a group of blind and visually impaired amateur radio operators here in Germany. And for the past almost 5 years now, I've also been editor of our audio magazine. So I've done quite a few recordings using my laptop, my headset, as well as digital recorders. And I've also done voiceovers using SoundForge actually. I believe there's quite a gap in terms of basic knowledge about audio, so I have decided I want to take all three modules of this course, and I'm looking forward to it.
And just as a sort of teaser and sort of warm-up into Audio Essentials, did any of you guys notice anything when Christoph was talking that may have sounded interesting?
Yeah, a humming.
Yep, that is a 50 hertz hum. And hopefully we can help him trace where that might be coming from as well.
Am I coming through okay? I mean, am I less louder than I was?
Still just as loud, unfortunately.
Derek.
I'm Derek Lane, and I'm one of the instructors for this class. I do a few things here and there. I've had experience doing live sound at my church. I do that most Sundays. I do audio restoration, so I take various old media tapes and records and things and physically clean the media and then, of course, play it under the best conditions that I can get and then, you know, take it into the computer and go from there. I've done some mixing and some mastering, a little bit of sound design and dramatic audio production, though I normally don't really put a lot of time into that because of the other stuff, and there are people that are really hyper-focused into that sort of thing, that are very good at it. In brief, in very, very short, as it were, is me. And I'm here because I like to use Reaper. I use it almost every day with various hardware and other software and plugins. And I enjoy being able to teach what I know.
Eden.
Hi, I'm Eden, and I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida, with a family originally from Germany, so that's interesting. And I play piano. I've just recently got back into it. I have never actually recorded anything except for a sort of review of something one time, but I want to be able to record myself. And even though I haven't composed anything or learned a whole lot, I, you know, think that probably multi-tracking is the way to go, even if I'm only going to be doing one track at first. I think probably I want to go for the Reaper, but definitely a newbie, and now I'm in Portland, Oregon, so that's me.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you along, and we definitely, you know, cover sort of from all aspects here, and as you've seen, you know, we have people from all aspects of audio, so we have new, we have seasoned, and all the things. I guess it's my turn. So my name is Jessica. I am also one of the instructors of this course. I'm the head instructor of this course. I have been working with Reaper since, oh gosh, I don't know, I'd say about like 2007, 8, something like that. Maybe a little bit shorter than that. But I am a vocalist. I am a musician. I dabble a bit in piano and MIDI stuff. I am also a radio presenter, or DJ, as you guys may call them, on an internet radio station. I also do mashups. I love mashups, so I do them quite a bit. And I really like to create things a lot with audio, so I'm very creative when it comes to that. I do a little bit of mixing as well, and sort of productions for other people. I help Derek with things sometimes, and I'm actually one of Derek's previous students, so that's kind of interesting when we kind of think about things. But I'm definitely looking forward to teaching you guys everything that, you know, a lot of what we've learned, and, you know, helping you guys move forward in your audio journeys. So that is me in a nutshell. Jim.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jim Turry from Bellingham, Washington. A little over 3 years ago, I moved from the East Coast, probably near where Ken Silverman lived. I lived in College Park, Maryland, near Greenbelt. But anyway, I'm out here now and started retired life. And I used to use SoundForge quite a lot. When my children were pre-teenagers, I used to use SoundForge to edit out the bad words in some of the songs. But I haven't really touched much of this stuff for several years. And I looked at Reaper years ago, and it intimidated me. So I'm really anxious to learn more about Reaper, and I want to learn more about podcasting and get a word. And I want to talk to some people about how to get that, the key mapping configured and all that sort of stuff. I know that's advanced for this course, but that's one of my goals. So, really interested in playing music. I love to play the guitar and dabble in keyboard. So really looking forward to learning a lot from all you folks. That's it for now.
Justin.
I'm Justin. I'm another one of the instructors for this course. I've been interested in audio since I was very young. I used to carry around a Fisher-Price tape recorder with me everywhere and record it, and hate the horribly loud motor sound that virtually drowned everything out on it. But my primary focus is sound design. Well, sound design is basically the idea of creating and orchestrating sound effects to produce a mood, to give a sense of space, to bring things to life. So sound designers are key in audio dramas, they're key in TV and film. They produce the notifications for your favorite Twitter clients, your Windows sound schemes, your computer games on whatever platform you play. So that's what a sound designer does. They also produce the production elements, the whooshes and clicks and bleeps and glitches for station IDs. And I know some of you are interested in that. I have considerable experience with SoundForge. Not so much experience with Goldwave, though I used to use it. So I won't be focusing so much on that part of the course. But been using Reaper for a year or two now. Also took Derek's course, and I also teach the Advanced Reaper course, which some of you may wish to progress to. I love to teach. It's really good to see what people do. Like, we give out a certain body of knowledge, and people do radically different things with it, and that's what's really fun to see, and that's what rewards me as an instructor. So I'm really looking forward to teaching you and getting to know you all better.
Yep, he's the Advanced Reaper teacher, and should you guys choose to continue with that, that's a cool course. And Derek and I are part of the Reaper composition crew for you musician interested types, or, you know, for you MIDI interested types, or sort of anything you want to do kind of more musical with Reaper. That's a bit, you know, down our alley as well. So those are two other courses for you to look forward to after this one.
Yeah, Justin's microphone is really awesome. He must be using a mixer.
I'm not, actually. I hate mixers because I use a laptop, and I like to be portable. I like to be able to sound design wherever I am. I am actually very lo-fi. I am the lowest fi setup of the three instructors for this course. This is just an Andrea Electronics binaural headset. It is a considerable improvement upon what I was using for most of last semester, Derek.
Yeah.
Is principally involved in editing the recordings of these lectures, will be very glad of that and will attest to that. But no, I don't have a mixer. I do have an interface when I really need to record some important vocal stuff, and sometimes I'll break that out for this course. But my room's quite small, and setting up a stand is a bit of a pain, so I prefer, as I say, to be mobile. So this is just a headset. But I'm glad you like the mic.
Yeah, the Andrea Audio, the microphone is on each earpiece, isn't it?
That's right. It's what's called a binaural design, and we'll be covering that in Audio Essentials, how binaural works and what it's good for and what it's not so good for.
It's actually really interesting you brought up the lo-fi thing, Justin, because like we actually each kind of have sort of a different part of the spectrum. So you're kind of like the one with the least amount of thing, and then I'm kind of in the middle, and then you have like Derek with his rig, right? So it's just really funny.
Derek is called Derek Studio on Team Talk for a reason. Derek actually has a studio. I have a laptop and an internal sound card. Well, actually, I'm using a USB sound card at the moment, which is probably even crummier than the internal sound card that comes with this laptop. But this is one of the things, like, I have a few things that I'm really big on, and you'll discover this particularly through Audio Essentials and Reaper. And one of the things I'm big on is fit for purpose. And, like, everyone thinks you need top quality gear for absolutely everything you ever do. If you don't own anything less than $10,000 worth of gear, then you might as well quit and, you know, quit the course, guys, go home, sell up, take up painting. And it's not true. My purpose at the moment is to talk to you guys and instruct you. And this setup is perfectly fit for that. If I was recording a voiceover for a $1 million film, I would use quite a different setup. But fit for purpose, I think, is a really important message which we want to get across to you. What works for you, what's within your budget, what's going to fulfill your goals at the time.
And by the way, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, in the United States. I forgot to say that.
We do ask questions like, do you really need a mixer? We don't do a Frozen parodies of it, you know, with the question in it. But
I suppose it could, but no.
That would be so cute.
And she could use Reaper to do it.
She could. It could be like multi-track and everything.
No.
And so
that's
you may
just
not.
That's given me a fantastic idea, actually. I'm not.
Are you going to be...
I shall say no more, but that's...
You're not going to be Ilsa. I hope you're not.
My daughter loves... No, my daughter loves this song. I'm just
going to...
You probably do, but I'm going to do... You just wait. That's just giving me my... Wow.
All right. Moving on to Ken.
Paul left there in the way right there at 10 of 13.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Ken Silberman. I live in Greenbelt, Maryland, and I'm taking this course because I want to do podcasts for both work and personal use, podcasts for work, and that I work at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center Office of Education. So I want to make accessible audio learning modules or help folks do that. We'd have a big distance learning program, and I think they want to do it. They just don't know how to make their stuff accessible. I also am involved in ham radio like Christoph, and I want to do podcasts for ham radio programs and types of interviews. In addition, I'm taking a Braille music course, so hopefully I'll, down the road, be able to compose. And with Reaper, I guess that means I'll take the advanced Reaper course at some point. And I do, as I said to Justin, I'm interested in effects also. I think that would be very cool to add to podcasts and other audio recording. I love to listen to old-time radio, and the sound effects are interesting, those shows, especially when you get into the late 1950s. So that's about it for me. Thanks. Good to meet all you guys.
Paul.
Oh, dear. I hate these get-to-know things. I'm Paul. I live in Brantford in Canada with Tammy, actually, who did the Reaper course. And, oh, boy, where do I start? I'm a piano vocalist, and of the real sort. I'm 53 years old, and I won my first City of Sydney at Stedford that I think we were kind of forced to do. I was like about 4.5. But I've sung everywhere from street corners to the Sydney Opera House. And in Australia, I used piano vocals to feed my family. But one of the things that happened was, the thing that really, really changed my life was, two things, were having children and wanting to take photographs, but not photographs in the traditional sense, like someone else here who said they were into photography, and I was born blind, so I was never into photography. But I did want to be able to have a record of my children as I grew up. The oldest, now, was about to turn 20, 8 or something, the 8th, 28, whatever, 2017, year 28. And so I started recording stuff and that, and in 2001, a person who was very much into my recordings and into the things that I was doing, which was like Derek, I was using old recorders and hating the motor noise and whatnot, bought me a copy of what I think was then Sandforge 6, and they had this SMA type thing like Jaws, and he bought me all these upgrades all the way up to Sandforge, I think about 10 or something. And it changed my life. I got into multi-layering and stuff, and one of the things I did was a piece of tape that took me about 11 hours to produce what turned out to be 4.5 hours worth of ambient surround mixed stuff. And somebody showed me live how I could have produced one of the segments that took me about 2.5 hours in Soundforge in Reaper in about 10 seconds. And I went, okay, Tammy was doing this also, and then produced a brilliant thing, and I thought, I've got to learn this. Plus, I was one of those people used to do courses all the time, then I got had an illness and I got better again and wanted to start learning again. So basically the two things are, for me, I really want to be doing a course, but I want it to be relevant to what I'm doing in life. And since I've got this little mixer sitting here and brilliant machinery and I've got a great keyboard and so on, I thought, you know, this is the place to be. And I love the Cavi idea, the whole Cavi idea to start with, and know quite a few people involved. So it was a natural follow-on, I guess, to sort of look at doing some of these courses. And I think that's about me. 5 children and, yeah.
As a teaser, Reaper is amazing because you don't have to hit the preview. You don't have to go into an effect and configure it, hit preview, or apply, listen, not like it, undo it, change it, etc. As you go and configure things, it's in real time. It's as if you have a rack of gear in a studio.
Well, that's a big teaser for me, because I worked in a studio, a live one, back in the mid-80s for years, or for quite a couple of years, until we were bought out by somebody very well-known in Australia. And I loved it. I loved every second of it, the production side of it. As you said, sound design. I almost keyed up when you were talking about sound design, because that's my favourite area. And my previous partner and I got into it, like right down to, we would go to medieval affairs, for example, and wait until all the crowd were gone and get the guys to smack axes together for us and hit armor and do all sorts of stuff like that. And you know, I kept that collection of sound. And I've got, I think, about 16,000-17,000 sounds or something, and nothing really to do with them.
Now, then he takes audio ins and outs, and then it's all...
That wasn't fair.
That was not fair at all. I can't even do that. Well, I could, but
once you go Reaper, you will never go back.
I guess once I use Reaper, I'd probably get rid of Soundforge then.
Nope. I use both. I didn't want to go into every single thing I used. I use Soundforge and RX and Reaper, and they all do very different things, and they're all very good at... There are just some things it's foolish to fire up a multi-track editor. It's like, do you use your stretch limo to go to the grocery store? Or do you just walk if it's next door?
Like, I still
I think
Goldwave
I can do
sometimes
silly things
too.
To my sound live, too.
I still use Goldwave and Soundforge and Reaper, now that I know how to use it.
I can't imagine that I would ever dump Soundforge. I really can't imagine I would actually dump it. Even just looking at without any knowledge, looking, for example, the MIDI control panel, I know an awful lot about MIDI because we use MIDI continually for a decade in the 80s. And it's the only panel I can actually look at in Reaper and say, yes, I understand what each and every single one of these controls do. And it's one of the best control panels I've seen in a single piece of software ever.
Wow, cool.
There's a couple of things I still use Soundforge for. I must say I have pretty much ditched it. But there is one thing that Soundforge will do that Reaper will not do, which will interest you as a sound designer, and we'll get to that at some point.
Char.
Hi, I'm Char. I sort of don't belong here, except I am. I am Cavi staff. I've been hanging around here for like 5 years. I took the audio class, the very first version of it, back in 2012, and I've sort of been hanging around off and on ever since. I started as an absolute beginner, and I did a final project, which I thought was pretty cool, at the end of the Reaper class. But there's still tons to learn, and that's why I keep showing up here every once in a while, and sometimes I log in and stuff. I'm planning on taking the advanced... Sorry, I am in the advanced course, and I'm going to do the MIDI music one as well. But mostly I'm just here tagging along and listening in. So hi.
Shelley.
Okay, so hopefully nothing weird with my audio here.
Nope, you're good.
I have been a podcaster for a very long time. I'm entirely self-taught. I'm an oddball from the perspective of this course and you guys because I'm a Mac user and learned and did most of what I learned about audio on the Mac. I have used Goldwave and SoundForge a tiny bit, but I will be taking Fundamentals and also Reaper. And it was funny because I came in expecting to take Goldwave and Reaper because I wanted to do primarily multi-track editing, but I thought because I didn't know Goldwave that there might be some dependency with Reaper, and Justin has assured me that that is not the case. But I ended up taking Audio Fundamentals, and one of the reasons is that while I feel like I have a pretty good handle on a lot of the things that you guys are going to cover, there were surprisingly topics that I was really interested in that I felt like I need to polish my skills on, and that's really where I'm at, especially for this part of the course, is I absolutely want to become a lot better at what I've already been doing. So I feel really comfortable in audio. I've learned how to do a lot with my own voice and my own sound and my own hardware, but I want to go to the next level as far as not only making productions that are a little more complicated than just me talking, but also just do a better job of multi-track editing and including other people on my shows and making sure their audio sounds really good as well. So that's where the multi-track and the Reaper comes in. So on the Mac, I've used Amadeus Pro as a single track editor, just primarily editing files, and then I'll do some effects and stuff like that, but there are limitations to that tool. And then Audacity a little bit, and GarageBand. And I was looking to jump into a multi-track editor and hadn't really decided between Logic and Reaper and Audition, and the opportunity of this course and being able to learn Reaper kind of helped make my decision for me. So that's me.
So I want to, at some point, Shelley, hook you up with Mark and Garth and a couple of the people in the Reaper Roger group, because their primary focus at the moment is actually really working with Mac and Osara. So that'll really help you out, because that way you can stay in your native environment and use Reaper and not have to, you know, boot into Windows. So that'll be convenient.
What mic are you using?
Right now I'm on a Blue Yeti. I don't normally use this mic for recording. This is the one I have in my office, and then in the little podcast closet in the other part of my house, I have a Heil PR40, which when I'm feeling fancy, you'll probably hear me on.
I wonder what would happen if you talked in the other side of that mic. I think you might be talking from the back of it.
The blue logo's in the front, so the little logo thing on the...
Well, I don't think this will fix it, but...
I used to have one of those, so I will... You will hear my Yeti stories at some point during this course. Finally, we have Tammy.
Hey, I'm Tammy. I am Cavi staff. I am relatively new to teaching. I teach the cooking courses with Char, some of them anyway. I also took the Reaper course last semester and loved it. I learned so much from this course, and now I am taking Advanced Reaper and Music Composition when it starts in next week, I think it is. I'm a musician. I'm a vocalist. I dabble in piano, sort of. I'm not very good, but I'd like to get better. This is why I like MIDI, because I actually don't have to, you know how to play. So that's me.
She also plays clarinet really well, but never sells it.
So, as you guys know, this classes will be on Teen Talk. All of the classes will, all of the courses for audio will. There's a couple of you who have noise cancellation turned on. We prefer that you turn it off. You can find it when you guys were setting up Team Talk and getting your sound devices set up. You can find it in the sound settings part. And there's a checkbox that says enable noise reduction, and it says suppress noise from microphone. Make sure you guys have that unchecked, as well as your AGC unchecked. That way the auto gain doesn't stomp or, you know, bring you up unnecessarily. So let's go over Teen Talk and the window. Justin, would you like to explain the Teen Talk window?
I would love to. I'm sorry, I had a little computer hiccup there. Okay, the Teen Talk window. You come into your window, you come into your chat room, and by default, you are focused in the tree view where the channels are located. So at the top we have Cavi Team Talk server. That is the top layer, and you expand that, and inside you will see we have Advanced Reaper, we have audio, and then we have all the people in audio, so we can collapse the audio channel, and we see that currently there are no more channels here. Then we have your output volume. This is how loud other people are to you. Your input volume, which determines your microphone gain, as output by TeamTalk. By default, it is at what we call unity gain. That is, what goes in comes out with no amplification or attenuation. Then we have the microphone activation level slider. And what this is a slider that determines how quiet do things have to get before TeamTalk just shuts off your mic, shuts off the output to the server. So this is good, like if you're in a noisy environment, you can make the numbers on this slider higher and it will not key up when noises are happening around you, only when you speak, providing there is a great enough difference between the noises around you and you speaking, and providing you have your level set correctly. I have mine set to 0, which means I am constantly keyed because of various audio demonstrations that I do on here. That's good, it doesn't cut out the quiet parts of them, but you'll be on push to talk most of the time in class, so this doesn't really affect you, but it will affect you during any socials you may attend and any other Team Talk servers you may wish to go on when you're on voice activated transmission.
It's worth noting that voice activation thingy thing that he just talked about when you're on push to talk doesn't exist, just in case some of you don't see it.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you don't have voice activation enabled, that slider completely disappears, I believe. Yes, that is true. As I say, when you're on push to talk, it's not important to you. So we're in the chat tab at the moment. There are other tabs. We don't need to worry about those. We press tab again, and we have channel messages, and you can see who's left the channel, who's joined the channel, whether you're logged in, whether you've been disconnected from the server, and any text messages that people might send to the whole room. So, if someone sends a message to the channel, as I am now doing, I have sent you the link to the audio homepage. And from there, you can find details about the more advanced courses, you can find some free stuff we give away, you can find the introductory text for this course, which I'm sure you've already read, and you can find access to the wiki. If you wish to talk during class, it's the way we like to do things is for you to put your name in chat. It's kind of the virtual equivalent of raising your hand. The instructors that are not demonstrating will be monitoring this window and will, at a convenient point, if the instructor demonstrating or presenting hasn't noticed, they'll let that instructor know that you have a question. Now, sometimes when things are particularly busy, when multiple instructors are demonstrating, when we're deep in discussion, when the various TeamTalk add-ons and scripts and things aren't working as they should, sometimes chat messages do get missed. So if we do miss you, it's not deliberate. Please do either put your name in chat again, and if that doesn't work, then just key up and say, I had a question, and then just keep it, you know, short and brief like that. And we'll say, oh, sorry, did we miss you? Okay. And at the nearest convenient point, we will get to you. Also, if you feel someone else has been missed, if they've been, you know, neglected for 5 minutes or more, feel free to do the same, you know, for your fellow students. That's absolutely fine. But the name in chat protocol just keeps things running smoothly. It is an anti-tangent device, so it keeps us all on point, and we're as subject to the temptation to tangent as anyone else. We kind of like tangents because we're very passionate about this stuff. So yeah, name and chat protocol is important. So if you want to try and find your type a message to the channel edit box, and if you just want to type your name and flood the window with names, then we'll just confirm that you have a handle on it.
Also a means of getting TeamTalk to speak through your sappy. You want it to.
Yes, if you go to the Me menu and click Enable Text-to-Speech and configure those settings in your preferences, it should speak things to you, who's left, who's come, who's gone, that kind of thing.
So Shelley had a question first. So go ahead, Shelley, and then Paul.
I'm sorry, I was just following instructions. I thought Justin was asking us to type, so I typed.
Yeah, they were just putting their name in chat to check it out.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But it shows that it works.
It did work. Can I say? I was paying attention.
No, I did have a comment, not a question really, but something that I fell foul of. When you run the wizard to set up the thing, in the instructions, it does say run in administrative mode if you're in Windows 10. Now, I read those instructions last night, but this morning, what did I go and do? I didn't install it last night because I was too tired, so I did it this morning. I forgot to run in admin mode, didn't I? When I came in here, all my sound settings were wrong because it didn't save them. So you really need, when you run that step wizard, if you're running Windows 10, make sure you run in admin mode, guys. Otherwise, you will find your push-to-talk is not on and your all the nice configurations that you spent all that time doing are gone when you actually run TeamSpeak.
Okay, Andrew had his name in. And Ben. Ben, did you have a question as well, Ben?
I think they were just following instructions.
Just making sure. All right. I don't like skip people.
No, I'm under control.
Okay, awesome. Sharp put in her name. She's following instructions as well.
Actually, I did actually have a comment.
What's up?
I am not an instructor for this course, so if the instructors for this course want to tell me to button it, I will. But don't resist the temptation to put long messages in chat, because the TTS talks and it totally messes up an instructor when you do that and derails. So like putting your name in is fine, but saying, hey, I had this really question because this happened to me and I didn't know what to do about it. So can you please answer this question when you get to it, please? Because it's really, 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 really important. Don't do that because you'll totally derail an instructor that way. So just put your name in.
Yeah, absolutely. The only time that that's okay is if for some reason you have an audio problem and you can't be heard. We will obviously give you enough time of silence and things to try and fix it. But if you just can't, it's totally fine to try and write your question, and then we'll try and get to your question and then hopefully fix you after class if you're broken for some reason and you can't fix it. The other thing I wanted to say about questions is sometimes we will have something where we kind of interact with you guys and we say, you know, what do you think this is? Or can you guess what this is? Or can you remember what something is? Or, you know, whatever, something like that. And it's okay to just kind of spout off and, you know, say the answer when that sort of thing happens, because we want you guys to interact with us and say, you know, if you think you know the answer, you know, shout it out. So that's always, you know, a fun thing. So let's see. So that is Teen Talk in a nutshell. A couple of things I wanted to go over that are very important. Number one is assignments and support. So your assignments at all times will go to the following email address, submit-audio@ciscovision.org. And that is where all your assignments will go when they are due. There on the wiki as well, in case you forgot what the assignment was from the podcast. We do say it in the podcast, but we have written them down in the wiki. So you will have all of the assignments there for your perusal. Your support questions, if we are not on Skype, also go to submit-audio@ciscovision.org. Cavi Audio is the Skype you will use for support. If you are on Skype and need some help, that's what we use, or we will use Team Talk and we'll get you on here and see if we can sort you out. Somebody had a question.
It was Justin.
Had a comment.
I did. It was me, Miss Jessica.
Please do not send emails saying, I am on Team Talk now, ready to meet with you. Because there is no guarantee we will be checking our emails at that given time. You are very likely not to be met. We have had students do this. I've had more than one student do this. Please email, ask for support. If we're already in a support discussion and we're starting to talk about when to meet up, just because you just received an email from us does not mean we are still checking our email when you reply. So please suggest a time. The more notice, the better. And we will meet up with you on Skype or on Team Talk and whatnot. But email is not an instantaneous form of communication. So don't expect instantaneous results from it. That said, it is always best to email the provided address, submit-audio@ciscovision.org, than one of our personal addresses, because three people man that address, so three people can respond. And if one doesn't, then the others will.
How about Twitter?
There is no Cavi Twitter. So, I mean, there is a Cavi Twitter, but it's not really a support method. So it's not checked. It's checked less often than email. What I would suggest is, as Justin said, email, or if you see Cavi Audio on Skype, please, before calling them, please, please send them a message, because they could be in a support call. So send them a message. You know, if you see them online, say, you know, what your problem is, what you need help with, and Justin, Derek, or I will be there to help you if, you know, someone's online. Just, it may take a little bit because we may be in a call. You will also get, because we run three audio courses, you will also get sort of some Skype, we call them office hours, but it's kind of what it is, some Skype hours for Audio IO specific course questions, because there may be times that, you know, someone may be on and it's specifically for the composition course or specifically for the Advanced Reaper course. So you will get some times on an email as to when you can ask those questions for audio, for a Reaper or any of the modules.
Sometimes we will have sort of, I guess you'd call them open walk-in kind of sessions where one of us might be on Team Talk. And that means that, you know, we are available if you just show up. Like, let's say I'm working on something in here, but it's not anything particularly taxing, and I can babysit Team Talk. I may send an email to you guys to let you know that I'm available. And this way all I have to do is just show up. We'll have some of these scheduled and some of these, you know, off the cuff. So just as we will, check your email and I'll be able to do all kinds of stuff that's awesome from that point.
Before I move on, I think Tammy had a commenty thing.
I did. I was actually just going to say that I forgot to mention in my intro that I am, I do not teach this course, but I am helping with things that need help with, such as probably Goldwave and other things. So I also am a submit audio person. So and if you need help, I may be the one helping you, just so you know. And the other thing I wanted to say is that the drop-in sessions that get set up sometimes are very valuable, and sometimes you get to see Derek edit things and work his magic, and it is amazing.
It kind of is, actually. I need to possibly do one, because I never got to do one last term.
I never and got to see you edit. That was, yeah.
Yeah, we would.
You kind of did one, because I was the one doing the workshop with the Apple, with the thingy, and I was
editing. That's right. Yes, that's cool. Yeah.
You'll notice that a lot of us do a lot of things similar, but then there are things that are so dramatically different that, you know, it's kind of like, well, how does that work? How did they get from there to there? Well, because everyone has a different workflow.
There are times when Derek's told me something that he does, and I'm like, you do what? How? How on earth does this work? How do you get anything done? And that is not because he is wrong, and that is not because I am wrong. It is because the world of audio is so large, and there are so many vastly different ways to skin a cat.
That it's an art, not a science.
You can be knocked sideways.
It is.
It's both.
You can be knocked sideways by
this is art?
The way someone else does stuff.
Paul had a question.
Yeah, not really a question, just a comment. Or actually, these are questions, I suppose. But Tammy covered it, actually, when she said it's an art. I absolutely hate letting people watch me edit. Am I the only one who I like watching, letting people... On the other hand, we've had some fun. I remember Tammy watching me do an edit one morning, and she suggested a minor change, which resulted in 40 edits in a small sentence or a small paragraph, basically. And it really made a... very positive, significant difference to the project. But I generally, am I the only one here who absolutely hates people looking over my shoulder and watching me edit?
No, I do too.
No, that's, I like to be watched.
That's one of the reasons I not get out of it so much, but I just get nervous, because like, especially when I'm put on the spot and I'm in front of a whole class, and I'm like.
It honestly depends what I'm editing. If I'm editing me, I like don't want to be watched. But if I'm editing somebody else, like when I did the assignments, like these guys have seen me edit. So like, yeah, they know how fanatical weird I am. But when I edited the assignments for last semester, I did it without headphones, but it was not me. So it depends what it is.
Yeah.
You will also find that we as instructors have different likes and hates. Mm-hmm. Derek is very perfectionist, loves editing, does it very well and very thoroughly, to ridiculous extents that, you know, to very thorough extents that you will hear about in the editing parts of this course. Jessica's kind of in between, and I hate editing. Editing I find tedious and dull and boring, and I would far rather be making weird and wonderful noises. And editing is vital. That is not, as a student last semester completely misinterpreted me when I said how much I hated editing and mastering and things. They are vital. They're just not very interesting to me. They are necessary evils to me. Some people love them. You will need to learn to do them, whatever your feelings about them, but you will probably have different feelings and different passions about different aspects of the things that we teach.
I say this because I don't want to have a martyr complex, but it's sad because if you edit well, your work will not be noticed. One will just sound amazing and coherent and cohesive. That'll just be the way it is, and no one will think, oh, wow, someone got them there. It'll just sound like that's the way they were. So you can put in hours and hours, and it...
Yeah, as Justin said, I'm kind of in between. Like, I appreciate editing, and certain parts of my creativity thrive on editing. I will show, once we get to closer to the effects part of Reaper, a mashup thing that I worked on with Simon Yeager, who is another audio person thing. He doesn't really help out with the audio class as much anymore, but he and I sort of did sort of little mashup-y things in the past, and sort of he helped out a little bit as well in the past. And we basically took a whole bunch of things and mashed them up together and made them into something really neat, into a really cool ringtone. But the reason that we show that off is because it is using few, if any, effects. And that's very key, because everyone always wants to get into, you know, new shiny effects. So moving on to headphones and looping and things like that. Guys, if you have to if you have to put us on your speakers, please try to minimize your keying up unless you have headphones or something, because that is... It causes looping, or basically, if you don't know what looping is, it's when you hear something back. You hear, you know, yourself back or everyone else back. And so that can get
feedback.
Really, yeah. And that can get really, really annoying and really just, that's another thing that can throw off an instructor. So please try to not do that. I'm like waiting now for Derek to do that so I can get furious.
The predictable thing that I was not going to do, but if you insist. That's not done acoustically, but... disorienting to talk and then hear yourself come back on a delay. I always find myself, if I do that, sounding very slow and stupid.
I've got a speaker sitting right underneath my microphone if you want me to demonstrate.
Okay, but see, notice how he was like, I could tell the minute he heard himself start to come back.
Yeah, I thought, what's going on? What?
Exactly. All. Yep, that was it. That was perfect.
So, yeah, just try to minimize that, guys, if you can.
I didn't do it, I promise.
Because that can get really disorienting. So, oof. Try to always make sure that your settings are okay. Oh, settings. Speaking of that. So, if you guys find that your settings are a bit wacky, or if we've said that your settings are a bit wacky, two things you can do. You can test your audio in the sound settings. There's a test button. The other thing you can do, and what I like to do sometimes, when you get to your name, you can press the key combination Control-4, and that subscribes you to your own voice. So yes, you will hear yourself loop back, but that's important because if you're trying to hear what you sound like on the server, you'll know. And so that's really important. So what reason I say that is, not only can you do that, but if you're on someone else's name, you will accidentally unsubscribe from them and then you won't hear them anymore. So just be warned of that.
Justin, presenting a caveat.
Make sure that you only press Control-4 on your own name. If you press Control-4 on anyone else's name, you will mute them and you will be unable to hear what they have to say.
I just said that. All right. So I think the last thing I have for you guys, we will end class a little bit early today because it was just orientation, but I'm going to give you some more things. Oh, no, I'm skipping something. Sorry. So submit audio is what I mentioned, but another thing that I have put you guys on is a couple of email lists. The first being the Audio IO list. That is an email list that is not announced only. It will have a lot of announcements on it and a lot of emails regarding class, but it also will be a list for you guys to share things, whether it be articles, information, to get together for study groups if you guys would like to do that. Like, this server is available to you to get study groups together if you feel you need to band together and do something. An instructor does not have to be there, but if you would like us to, we will be there and you know, supervise it or monitor it or whatever. But we don't have to be there if you guys prefer to do a student-led study group on your own. That is the email list where you can do all that stuff. The other list I have put you guys on is the audio discuss list. And this list is really, really important because not only are we the people that you can ask for support, but this list is really cool for resources. A lot of times, you know, you ask a question on the audio discuss list, and there's a lot of people on this list who have taken audio at some stage from between 2012 and now. And some of them are very helpful and will give you really good resources and really good bits of information that will help you along with what you're doing. So if we can't, or if we're, you know, a little bit slow on the uptake or whatever, or you just want some different opinions, the audio discuss list is totally your friend.
Maybe you haven't set those subscriptions up, but I haven't gotten the audio discuss email, if that's important.
Okay, did you get audio IO? Because I know I put you on that one.
I got that, yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure that you get on discuss. Thank you for telling me. Derek brought up a point in the message about payments. Most of you actually have been really awesome and have paid already. So that is really cool. If you're on a payment arrangement and I don't know about it, please let us know. But I think in this particular case, everybody has actually paid. Generally, people pay to accounts. They go to the PayPal address. Just for the archive purposes, you go to cavitraining.com. There's a pay with PayPal button. You click on that button, or you press enter on that button, and it'll take you to PayPal. You make your $200 donation, $150 donation, $100 donation, depending on what module or modules you're taking. Once you get your PayPal receipt in your email, forward your PayPal receipts to accounts, accounts@ciscovision.org. So that we have record of your payment. This is very important, guys, because people do this. They pay their PayPal thing, and then they don't forward it to us, and then we don't know that they did. So.
And also, it's really important to say what course you paid for, especially when you're paying for audio, because there are three audio courses, and we need to know what money goes where.
Yes, that'll make Char, the spreadsheet person, very, very, very happy.
Yes, it will.
So that is payment in a nutshell. Now, before I let you guys go and get and email your links and stuff, we're going to talk about the assignment. So,
two of them, as it were. The first assignment is, we call it, well, some of us have called it a placement test. Some of it's just sort of a pretest, whatever. The only way to fail it is to not be bothered to do it. Basically, we want to know kind of what you know, where you're at, things like that. So if we find out that a lot of people understand certain concepts, you know, we won't have to stress them. We know that, you know, there are some of you who are struggling with certain things. We can make sure that it's emphasized. And so that test helps us help you. It's also used as a means of showing people if audio ins and outs is something they need. For people who are very into the technical aspects of audio and know how sample rates and different types of microphones work and so on, you know, they take this test, they see that they know all this stuff, and we see it, they may not need audio essentials, and they may find themselves ready for Goldwave or Reaper or any of the other variants of any of those courses. So we'll be sending you links to that. So there is a scavenger hunt that is assigned by the people who are of higher power than us, even. It's basically one of those deals where if you're a Cavi student, you take this, because what it lets you do is investigate all the resources on the website, finding different things on the website so that you know, for example, where your class notes are stored, where certain resources can be found, and, you know, things like that. And we'll appreciate that being done as well. And so the pretest and the scavenger hunt are the two things that we're giving you to do this week.
I have already sent all of you guys, I believe. If not, please place your name in the field, and I will make sure and send that to you. I have sent you guys a zip file which contains the test and the scavenger hunt. Your scavenger hunt instructions tell you what to do, how to send your assignment, but in case you forget, make sure that your assignment, your test, and hunt get zipped up in a folder and sent to submit audio by a Dropbox link. Some people like to send these in email attachments. We don't want that. We want Dropbox. We want SendSpace. We want cloud storage link.
The reason we want this is because Reaper projects are multiple files. They consist of multiple files. And we want you to be able to easily send us zip files so that one file gives us your entire project. So this is practice for doing that.
Did I miss anything, guys?
I would just like to add, you're mainly going to be doing stuff from archives this semester. But if you guys have particular interests that you don't feel are adequately covered, if you want to cover things from a more musical bent, you know, up to the limits of the scope of this course, of course, you know, we'll cover musical things. If people want to know more about sound design and how to create sound design elements, you know, let us know. I'll be quite happy to run a study group on that. You know, Derek is very modestly understated his audio restoration prowess. So if there's stuff you want to know about that you don't you don't feel you feel you've just dipped your toes in and we've teased you, do ask for more, and we'll be happy to, you know, within sort of the constraints of the time allowed and so forth, emphasize those things a little bit more for you.
So what I'm going to do once class is over is I'm going to email you guys your first lecture, which is all about sound and the history of analog. This is very important because you're going to need to learn sort of the differences between analog and digital and things like that. And this will kind of help you understand as you go forward what digital audio is trying to do. And what you're trying to do in the current environment that you are now working in. This lecture is going to be sent to you today, pretty soon after class. You guys' homework, besides the assignment, is to listen to that lecture. If you have any questions about that lecture, they will all be answered on Monday's Q&A next week.
Write them down.
Yes.
It's always good to write them down. Otherwise you'll forget, and then you'll kick yourself on Tuesday going, wait.
I have to joke about this because, you know, we were talking about editing. Those lectures are heavily edited, but hopefully they don't sound like it.
There's that. So does anybody have any questions or comments or anything they would like to add or say before we dismiss?
Has anyone else had difficulty hearing the audio, particularly during the last half with 3-second, 6-second cutouts, or is this just my end?
They're right on the money. I haven't had a delay or anything. They're just like they're right in front of me talking.
Okay, so I'm the only one again.
Aww.
I have a question. Does anybody have any tips on how to get rid of that 50 hertz hum?
Well, Derek, you could always go on a very quick, you know, lesson on shielding, you know, as a teaser and things like that.
Well, the only way I can get rid of it right away is to unplug the laptop from its power source.
Yep, that's actually probably what it is your laptop is not grounded, right? So it makes that noise when you're on a microphone. And some of these things you just have to make do and try to find ways around them. And other things, depending on what it is that you're working with, you can put in line, such as direct boxes and other things like that. Or even just shielded cables, which the lecture on cables is, that will be your friend.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem.
The one thing about the cable lecture that's kind of cool is that you see some mistakes that can be made when you're hooking things up. And that's another thing that I'm very happy to say about this class. We all, in study groups live or in the archives, offer practical demos of things. So yeah, we'll talk to you about something, but we'll try to find something that happened in life, be it our own or somebody else's, so that you can hear the theoretical knowledge applied in a practical sense. Because we can give you all the numbers and all of the fancy things all day, but if it doesn't mean anything, then it's kind of a waste of your time to learn. And so we want to make it mean something, too.
Paul had a question.
Yeah, that set me on, but what Derek set me up really nice, set me up really nicely for it. It is one of those things that does happen in life, and you can demonstrate it. If you can stop that hum, and I'm not sure whether, you said you lived in Germany, so at the risk of during my first orientation being seen as I'm not correcting an instructor or anything, just that it will be easier to find if you know this. I do believe your power is at 60 hertz, not 50. You can actually get boxes which will filter that out. And you can try a wonderful quick little tip that I've found over the years, because I've spent years doing chasing these sort of things down, is if you have something else hooked into that same outlet, like it's a dual outlet or something, try plugging your laptop into a different outlet or the other device into a different outlet, and you might find the hum will magically disappear. Because we had a shocking, I lived in a duplex where the guys next door spent their lives building, and we spent our lives, you should hear some of the hum on some of this stuff, it's awful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely a 50 hertz hum that you're hearing from, coming from my device here.
Yeah, I didn't look. I just wondered whether you're with it, because I thought you were in German. I didn't know whether it was 50 or 60, the power supply in there.
You can hear by the noise. You can hear the 50 hertz hum is lower. So that's what I was trying to actually show, but I can't find it right now. So
I was working on generating one in SoundForge. This is where.
So was I. I thought, no, I don't think I can do that and run TeamTalk at the same time.
No, you totally can. Tools, simple, synth. Yeah.
That's the one thing I like about Goldwave. Goldwave has an amazingly brilliant synthesizer. It's the only time I ever use Goldwave.
There's your 60.
And that's ours, whereas his.
So yeah, key up again for us so we can hear you.
Actually, let me change the, and you'll learn about these too. Let me change the wave type from sine to something that's more like what you would hear.
Square.
That's more like your video noise kind of thing. I would say triangle.
Yeah. Triangle, yeah. Yep.
There it is.
There you go. Spot on.
Yep.
Spot on.
So there's your 60 hertz hum. So if you're in the U.S., if you're in Canada, if you're, oh God, there's some other countries that have.
See,
this.
That's what confused me, because I spent the first 42 years of my life in Australia, so it's like, yeah, I know whether it's 50 or 60.
So there's some more countries that have that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but if you hear that is a 60 hertz hum. You have some problems there, some shielding, some grounding problems, some things that possible reasons that we will cover in the cable lecture. The 50 hertz hum is the lower hum that you heard from Christoph, and that is experienced, I believe, in most of Europe and Australia. Paul, you can correct me if I'm wrong with Australia.
Oh no, in Australia that was the problem we had. The 50 hertz hum was just, it was pervasive, it was really annoying, and we tried all sorts of things, and we eventually found a loop. There you go. Yep. Alright, definitely that's
bringing back some good times.
No, it's bringing back some. It's potentially giving me nightmares. Don't do that.
Better?
Much.
Oh, good.
Now I have to make sure that I don't. I'm like you. I tend to be most of the time lo-fi music in the mix at the moment, just because it's already hooked up. But I like portability too. And now I have to make sure I don't make hums and things.
Yeah.
Speaking of portability, I do want to make one point, if I may, and this is just sort of a minor grievance. There are mobile clients for TeamTalk, and we understand if you are in a situation where you absolutely cannot attend class on your computer, but one tends to be, at least I do, and I may be sort of imposing my tendencies on others, but I tend to be more relaxed if I'm on the phone because I don't feel like I'm in work mode. And so sometimes noises from just existing comes through, you know, or any number of distractions can happen personally, you know. I can't study and play a game on the same device because it just one or the other wins. But so if you are on the mobile device, be careful about when you're keying and things like that, because that can create a very distracting environment for people. If you're, you know, cooking and you're doing laundry and you're critical listening, well, except the laundry and the cooking would probably kill the subtleties of the critical listening exercise. And plus, you know, especially in these live sessions, we want to be able to interact with you. We want to be able to ask you, okay, do you have Reaper open? Do you have this project loaded? What does your screen reader say when you do this? Has everyone found out that this is behaving this way? And to have you in front of your computer will allow you to be able to be more interactive as we go along. That's just my thought.
Anything else?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jim, I believe.
Yeah, this is Jim. So the next modules, are all the modules going to be taught at this day and time?
Yes. Reaper and Essentials are the ones that are running sort of live-ish. Goldwave is on sort of an as-needed basis, so if anyone needs Goldwave help, you'll need to email Submit Audio or Cavi Audio on Skype, and I will come help you, or Tammy.
Hey.
They're the Goldwave girls, not to be confused with the Golden Girls, but...
All right, I think we've had enough annoyances for one day, so I will end this on a really good note, which you'll learn about in the classes from now on, because we like it, and it's been around since 2012. There we go.
Outro, as class Yay! Is dismissed.
Such this fond very, memories of that.
This will be very happy music for you some days. Probably.